Hello, everyone. Dr. Will here. I just wanted to do a quick catch up on a couple of things. One is I wanted to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is humility and teachability, an open mind to this truth. I love that phrase, because if you have an open mind to the truth, that will open you up to being more humble and teachable. And to me, that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, humbling yourself in bad ways. It's about changing your mind when your mind needs to be changed. So, you know, as we look at those things, what we have to begin to look at is, just because we learned one thing in one period of our lives that worked quite well, doesn't mean it's going to work the same way later on in our lives. Now, we can apply this to a lot of areas, from diet to exercise to even what we do in the world of NLP and hypnosis and helping people change. You know, as the information base changes, as we get more information, as we learn new things about the neurology and how things actually work, not how we wish they would work, then we open ourselves up to, am I going to change? Am I going to evolve? Am I going to develop? Or am I going to hold on to the old and say, nope, I learned this whenever I learned this, so I don't want to learn anything new? Or are you willing to open up your mind and expand and do new things, learn new things, and get to new levels? And to do that, it does take some humility and teachability. You know, I've talked about a couple of times sharing things that I swore were true, that when I found out they weren't true, and how hard it was to put out the info, nope, this is not true. One of the examples is, you know, and some people still use it, is the thing about communication is 55% nonverbal, and it goes through this whole thing. Only 7% is verbal. Well, you know, I put that, it was in one of my articles, a lot of my articles. I taught it for a long time. Well, then I was reading some research by the guy that came up with that study, and he said what it was a very limited study. It had to do with basically telephone things, or really short interventions. And he said it was totally misconstrued by marketers, if you will, who took one idea, developed the whole marketing thing with it, whether it's NLP or hypnosis, whatever they were teaching, and rammed it through. He goes, this is not true. We know now that the words do matter. The words you say do matter. Yes, the tonality and the inflections, all that. And if I can see you face to face, then, you know, your physiology and being congruent comes into play. But, you know, if words did not matter, then why would speeches be so powerful, right? Why would I have a dream speech be so powerful? You know, he could have said, you know, I had a night vision. That's not the same thing. I had a dream. I have a dream. John F. Kennedy, ask not what you can do for your country, or ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, is much more powerful than, hey, you know, quit whining and do something for the government. No, it's a different mindset. You know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. All these things, words matter in and of themselves. And of course, if we study NLP and we really understand it and hypnotic language, we know, yes, the words do matter with the tonality, with the pacing, with everything else that we do, but the words do matter. So that's one example. Another one was the idea that there was a study done in the 1950s at a major university, and they found that only 3% of the graduating seniors had written goals. And then on a 20-year follow-up, those 3% were worth more than the other 97% combined, or something like that, right? I said it because it was a great, great quote, and people used it. And, well, to the best of anyone's knowledge, and there was a couple people that were talking about this study in a dissertation, and they literally called all the colleges on the East Coast, psychology, social work, business, wherever this thing might be. No one could ever find the study, right? No one could find it. No one could reference it. And so the way I heard it, the earliest quote they could attribute it to was Zig Ziglar. And when they asked him about it, but it was true or not, he goes, well, I think it's true, but if it's not true, it doesn't matter. It's a great quote. And it got people to write down their goals. Well, since then, there was a study done at one of the universities in Canada, I think Ontario, And they did do the study and then did a short follow-up. And yes, it was true. People with written goals did better. And as we know, writing the goals actually transfers information from one hemisphere to the brain to the other. It's why, you know, they say in theater, if you're really having trouble learning your lines, write them out, because it, you know, it costs it, it by, you know, it, it crosses the corpus callosum and switches the hemispheres of the brain. So, you know, so there's, that's another example. When I found out the truth, I said, well, you know, it, it's really not there. And I had people arguing me with this, you know, and the list goes on and on. The whole thing about, I posted a thing when, do it with the weight loss thing. And I said, you know, it's false that the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And, oh no, no, we, everybody knows it's true. I said, well, you know, usually you hear anecdotal evidence, or it's by someone that's pushing a specific agenda, things like this, or the whole idea that, you know, the best way to lose weight is those six small meals a day, six small meals a day. And I was reading some research, and it was talking about how, you know, we have to look at who we are physically. I mean, our physical being, where did it develop? How did it develop over eons of evolution? How did we develop? Well, one of the things is hunter-gatherers. I can guarantee you, for most millennia, up to about just recently, breakfast was rare. When you got up, you had to go hunt or gather food. Maybe there was fruit in the summer. You might have fruit that you could eat first thing in the morning. But for most of millennia, it wasn't there. And they had no canning, no refrigeration. So you had to go and gather. You know, and same with the people say you have to have all these, like, six small meals a day. Well, physiologically, that was rare in the wild, right? Outside of the really tropical areas where fruit and things would grow all year, that was rare. You did not have the opportunity to eat very small meals. I mean, you ate when there was food. But anyway, you know, those are things that we say and we start talking about, and, you know, and you begin to believe it becomes real, right? They, you know, people have said if you tell a lie three times and tell it convincingly, people begin to believe it. And then it becomes in that, you know. And the biggest one lately I had to do again with food, about eggs were bad for you. And, you know, it was a flawed study. Every time the study's been replicated, it never proves true. But all of these things have this tendency to become real. So if you're humble and open, can you say, like, hey, what I was teaching or what I thought I find out was flawed. I mislearned, or I was misinformed. That's really what it is. You know, it's just as the fact you were misinformed. The people that taught you might not have known. One of my favorite sayings lately is, you don't know what you don't know. And if somebody teaches you something, you're going to assume it's true. And then if you find something to the contrary, if you could test it and it is true, then go with the new information. It's one of the reasons I love the evolving field of NLP and hypnosis. So I just wanted to talk about, are you humble? Are you open? Are you willing to change? And one of the things that can do that is, the second topic I wanted to talk about is, what is your why? Why do you do what you do, whatever it is? You know, as dear friend says, you know, Tony Robbins says, if you know your why, the how will develop. You'll do whatever you have to do if your why is strong enough. But a lot of times when I say to people at the beginning of its training, I always say, why are you taking this course? Why are you taking this course? What do you want out of it? Because it lets me know their mindset, you know, and what do they want to do? Do they want to help others? Do they want to help themselves? That's why, from really tracking it, I swear that over 50% of the people that take a basic class really are there to develop themselves, to do something for themselves, to learn, to grow. Maybe they have a problem they want to solve. Maybe later help other people, but it's for over 50%, no, they're there for self-development, self-growth. And so it changed the way I teach it, especially at the basic level. Again, going back to humility and teachability. But why is your why? Why do you want to learn this, right? If it's strong enough, that opens up your humility and teachability. If my why is to be the best NLP person, trainer, human development expert, if you will, that I can be, which means I have to be open and honest and do some different things. So why? What is your why for learning NLP and hypnosis? What is your why for doing this as a profession, as opposed to just something you like to do, you know? So it's an interesting thing. So I want you to just think about those two things, being humble and open and teachable, and why is your why? I'm going to talk a lot about this in the next few weeks. So just begin to develop that. And again, I want to say thank you to my group. I'm always humbled and honored, you know, As human beings, we get to reinvent ourselves whenever we want. You don't like the way your life's going? Go in a different direction. Your past is nothing but a marker of where you've been, and it's nothing to do with necessarily where you're going to go. So as you open yourself up, naturally, you can get to the things you want to do. I mean, if you dream of a better life, if you really dream of success, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial success, know that maybe what's holding your back isn't your fault. Again, you don't know what you don't know. And maybe the information you got you to a certain level. Maybe what that information wasn't wrong, it just got you to this level. But now you're at this level, you want to get to this level, right? But the information that got you here may not be able to get you there. A 100 horsepower motor can only pull so much weight. If you want to get a bigger, pull more, you got to get a bigger motor. You got to get something different. So maybe you need more information. Maybe you need different avenues and outlets. It's one of the reasons I've been offering the NLP life coaching even more. It's, I've offered a couple of times just general life coaching. I did a life coaching for weight loss, ultimate fat loss for you, redid my whole program. That's up there. And now I'm doing one on prosperity and abundance. And there'll probably be more in the future. And because as we keep going toward the future, we have to realize that the changes are happening all the time. So, that's one of the things I'm doing. So, I mean, if you dream of a better life, you have to be open to new information. You have to be teachable. You have to be willing to know whatever got you to where you are. Thank God for it. Be grateful to the universe, to infinite source. But it may not get you to where you want to go from where you are. And that's what we're struggling with sometimes together. Or you can get different information from different people. I'm always taking classes in different things. Everybody knows one of my big passions is theater and acting. So I'm always taking classes. Why? Because I always heard the difference between an amateur and a professional in the acting world is a professional is always studying and practicing. An amateur thinks they're good enough. And I would say that is true for us in our field. An amateur, I don't care if you're making money as a hypnotist or an NLP, or if you think you've learned it all, you're still in an amateur status. As a professional, still study and grow and learn and go to different things and learn new and interesting information. So go with that. And again, so get in touch with me. Again, check nfnlp.com for all the trainings going on all over the world by NFNLP trainers. And NFNLP, of course, offers the world's best NLP and hypnosis training across the board. So get in touch with one of the trainers. Get in touch with us. We can tell you where people are all over the world. The Mideast, several countries in the Mideast, Europe, Canada, United Kingdom, Malaysia, Indonesia, India, China, Hong Kong, of course, the United States. And we're growing all the time. We'll soon be trying to push into the Spanish market if everything goes right. So keep in touch. Let us know what you're doing and if we can be as assistants. I've got a couple trainings coming up, one in Malaysia. It'll be mostly on guerrilla NLP or the secret psychology of persuasion. That'll be in Malaysia. And then, of course, the National Guild of Hypnotists, where I do the revamped basic NLP and the pretty much all redone master level NLP, which will have a lot of the life coaching course in it. Part of it will be through that. So you'll get out of the master NLP course with also a life training background. So life coaching background. So just some things to consider and have some fun with. So check nfnlp.com, keep in touch, let us know what you're doing. And I also have a radio show I've been doing lately at 3 p.m. on Tuesdays on Facebook Live, Radio Buzz and Radio Buzz. It's an internet radio show that's also broadcast on Facebook Live. So check me out on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at DocNLP at RealNLP.com. And have some fun with the stuff that we're doing, and I'll see you as we trudge the road to happy destiny. Thank you.